For October the 29th, 2021, we talk about Inscription, Lydia, and we ask you about your favorite game soundtracks for general listening. Welcome to Level 391. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Jala Prendes.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Hey there, Jala. Welcome back.
Hi, I am here.
Yeah.
How are all of you?
I'm doing okay.
Doing good, doing good.
Doing all right.
Yeah.
Yay.
I'm meat cancers all around.
I honestly I'm pretty sleepy. It's been a long few days, but it kind of sounds like a lot of all of us are a little drained.
Mm-hmm. I have had people in my apartment for like the last 4 days, and so ooh. I am tired but happy to kind of have my own space again.
Were they people you knew?
They're people I know and people I enjoyed being around, so
yeah.
Oh.
Pluses.
But their time is past, and now it is back to Ben time.
Yeah.
That's right. Pooping with the door open, you know what I'm saying?
Oh gosh, what you up to, Jella?
Well, my hobbies have moved into the seas. I have done one and started another cross stitch. Both of these are Pokemon related. If you folks who are listening want to see said cross stitches, the first one is of Derpy starter Pokemon, and it is my banner on Twitter, and also was posted as a photo on Instagram and to Twitter. And then also I posted a photo of the one I'm starting, which is a Slowpoke that says "Live slow, die whenever." So yeah. That's one hobby. That's one thing I've been doing a little bit of.
You said they went to the seas, and I were like, "Were you picking up scrimshaw? Were you tying knots?"
So the other thing, though, is climbing. I went this weekend and did some indoor bouldering, and so we've been doing a little bit of that, Dave and I. And I'm actually reading a book about said subject so that I may become better because, you know, we just went and without knowing anything and without any instruction, just kind of grabbed a wall and did some things. And so I posted video and photo of that so people can see that as well on the social media networks. So
did your general kind of just strength training, like, did that get you a pretty good way?
I was climbing overhangs and stuff like that. It was fine. But like, you know, technique wise, like, it wasn't that we were completely devoid of any form of technique. It's just that we don't have the vocabulary that somebody who knows what they're doing will have. So, you know, like, there's parts of it where we were encountering a problem that we were just like, I don't know how to get to this next handhold or whatever, but like,
I don't know how to make the decision. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we just like, you know, I would climb back down. Dave jumped. But I climbed back down.
Oh, there's somebody belaying you. It's fine.
You know, that's my most common.
It's for safety. You have to be able to climb back down as well. So,
Yeah. My most common problem when bouldering is I don't know the name of the move to get to the next handhold, and so that holds me. Otherwise, I could totally do it.
No. It's like there's techniques of like, okay, you have to twist this way while doing this with your foot, and then you have to go down a little bit and then spring for it. Like, it's like stuff like that where it's like I wouldn't think necessarily to do this particular combination of movements, and everything is mostly a lot of learning the exact balance of push and pull and the exact places to put your fingers and hands, because like there's a bunch of different ways you can grab things, some of which are more restful than others, and things like that. But, and of course, utilizing your feet and being able to, you know, get a good grip with them, except if you're on an overhang, that's really hard to do. So,
but also if you don't know that move you described, or that technique you described is called a reverse spring air spray, then you can't do it. It's the rule.
But bouldering is when you climb kind of a concave wall. Is that kind of like, is that what that is?
Bouldering is pretty much limited to, you know, just like a 15 to 20 feet maybe off the ground, like something that you could, you know, if you are preparing yourself before you fall, you can fall onto a crash pad and be fine.
Gotcha.
Like, you're not going to kill yourself doing that versus climbing, you know, like cliff faces or something like that, which is exceptionally high. But yeah. The gym that we went to is the closest gym to me, and it is a smaller gym, so it's not like it has, you know, super high walls to begin with, so mm-hmm. A lot of it is bouldering there, but that's fine because that's what Dave in particular is more interested in. I don't really care. I'm up for whatever.
Nice.
All of it is fine. I'm finding that there are Pokemon chalk bags on the internet. I just have come across a very expensive Snorlax chalk bag.
Well, I mean, it's so big. That's a lot of chalk.
Yeah.
Like, weighs you down. Hard mode.
Yeah. Like, it's pretty great. Anyway, so yeah. Like, there's also a Magikarp. Like, wow, I'm just finding some things.
You posted Snorlax, and that is excellent.
Yes, I posted Snorlax. Oh, there's a Bulbasaur. There's a Squirtle, and it's so upsetting because, okay, Bulbasaur, it comes out of his bulb.
Of course.
Squirtle, it comes out of his head.
Oh, I would have thought it would be his tail.
No. Huh. Okay, so Bulbasaur looks like that.
Okay.
And then Squirtle
The sack is empty. So, yeah. Ooh, got a fly top upsetting. Of his head.
He had some kind of lobotomy. Oh.
Oh no. Oh, well.
So yeah, so basically they just took Pokemon, you know, stuffies and then like took all the stuffing out and shoved a chalk bag into them, and they're reselling them as such. Like there's a Magikarp one.
Nice.
And so on.
Yeah. So well, that'll be a good activity to do indoors while it's colder too. I can't imagine it's that fun to run.
It doesn't get super cold here, but it's also rainy. I haven't been able to run because my calves and my feet have been really cramped up. Super cramped up, and I don't even know what from, because I haven't been doing calf raises, I haven't been running, I haven't been really rucking until more recently, and not anything very long. I can only surmise that it is from chronic pointing of toes from doing all of the dancey dance for like a year or so, that maybe that's what did it. But I don't know.
Nice.
So I'm trying to fix that. I've been, you know, trying to foam roll and massage to get that fixed so I can actually go running. But, you know, I have no shortage of things to do. If I just can't do one thing, I will just find something else to do, like bouldering.
Very good.
Yeah. What's everybody else been up to?
Yeah, Ben, you had folks over?
Yeah, I had friends in from out of town. I had one friend from Cincinnati, one of my friends from elementary school, came for the weekend. So we just did a lot of just kind of exploring Seattle a little bit, and then just going to bars, playing board games, just going to restaurants sort of thing. So
nice.
It's a nice few days, pretty relaxed. It was super rainy the entire time, so got an honest view of Seattle weather. but yeah, it was a good time.
Nice.
Yeah. Did anyone nap?
Nap? That is,
yeah, that's the one thing. When we go and like spend a weekend or whatever, just with friends, for some reason my body is like, all right, well, you need a nap. And then I'll inevitably like pass out on their couch watching football at 3 p.m. or something.
Yeah.
And I never do that at home, but it is almost like 100% at a friend's house.
It's because you are relaxed and happy, and so you have. There's
someone else has to clean the mess bag. Up.
Okay, sorry. Anyway.
Yeah, very cool. How about you, Dennis?
Man, we're redoing our basement, which means I get to put a new TV down in that sucker.
Ooh.
And the TV in our living room is literally a decade old.
Okay.
And going strong, I might add. Like, we've never had a problem with it. It's like a little off-brand. It's like the Best Buy house brand. It's called Dynex.
Oh, yeah.
And this thing's a workhorse. Like, it's been with us since the beginning and has never so much as coughed. So I've got a lot of anxiety about bringing another TV into the house just because I don't want to jinx it. Like,
do you think we're coming up
on Black Friday.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Coming up on Black Friday. This is like the time to get a TV, and you know, the project's going to be done in early December anyway. So it's going to happen. I just don't know what TV could possibly top. Not necessarily technically, because that'll be easy.
Yeah.
But in terms of durability and quality, the run we've had from our little Dynex.
I mean, you could just move the Dynex downstairs and get a new one for upstairs, right? I assume the one upstairs will get heavier use. That would be a good way to extend the life of the Dynex, right?
That's actually a great thought. I think our expectation, because we're making kind of like a living room area downstairs,
okay,
is the one downstairs will get more use.
Oh yeah, okay, I gotcha.
But I don't know if that will hold true now that you say that.
I don't know.
Yeah. Huh.
I mean, I imagine you would want to do whatever is best for the most people in the house. Don't make your decision just based around prolonging TV life.
No, we definitely want to. We want to set a world record with this Dynex here. the one downside is it does have terrible input lag, so for gaming, it is definitely not great. To the point that at times when playing higher precision games, I have gone to the VR headset and just laid on the couch, like for a 2D game, laid on the couch playing through my VR headset.
You did that for Wipeout, right?
It makes
a
noticeable difference.
Yeah. What the future is now.
you did that for Wipeout, right?
For Wipeout, yeah. Although Wipeout has a VR mode.
Gotcha.
The Trackmania Turbo, the original one that I found on PS4, was done that way. Devil May Cry 5 was done that way.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is good TVs for gaming is the search history that you'll find in my computer right now.
Nice. Well, that's exciting. Yeah.
If anyone has any strong recommendations, we're probably looking for like a 65-inch TV. Let me know.
I have a 65-inch, but I can't in good conscience recommend it because it is very costly.
Enough. We're looking to be like maybe a little over $1,000, but not too far over.
Yeah, you'll find plenty of good stuff in your range on that.
Mm-hmm.
For a 65.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah. Nice. No, my TV is unjustifiable. It is no kids and don't plan to have any.
It is a work expense.
I mean, kinda.
Totally. Are you kidding me?
I suppose. I forget how I categorize that transaction. That's cool. Over here, nothing too much. I've honestly been real busy with work, just a lot. Spent time away from the house over the weekend, taking care of some family. So I got a little bit of like, I'm sleeping in a strange bed and watching stuff to try and fall asleep kind of vibe. So I finished I'm current on Better Call Saul, which is fun. It's a good ass show. Like that quite a bit.
Is that the end of a complete rerun through Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul?
I forget. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I after Bob Odenkirk had his heart attack and we were uncertain of what his fate was going to be, I started watching Breaking Bad so I could get current on Better Call Saul for when the new episodes of the final season air in 2022.
Which do you like better between the two?
They're really different shows. I like Breaking Bad more, but Better Call Saul is incredibly strong.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more of a
what flavor of ice cream do you want?
Yeah. You know, I won't turn either of them down. And in fact, I think that they just have different things to say, and they're about different things.
What flavor of terrible person ice cream?
And then I started Squid Game. Not because everybody was talking about it, but because my history with Korean anti-capitalist works has been pretty good, so why not? And that is a good show, at least so far. It may take a shit. I have no idea. I've not followed the discourse.
Me neither, and I'm very intrigued by the tidbits I have had. So report back. I it takes a lot for me to dedicate, because Jen's not going to watch it because she's not like a gruesome violence person.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot for me to watch a show by myself because that is always time I could be playing a video game.
Yes. Yeah. I'm enjoying it, but also Chala, that deflated Cthulhu chalk bag is destroying me.
It's pretty good, especially because the little tendrils on it are so long. It's like, oh my god, that would be trailing off of you.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
We're getting basically the podcast equivalent of photobombs as yep. we talk with adorable Pokemon / Cthulhu chalk bags.
Oh gosh.
There's a Kirby. Kirby's very good.
Flat Kirby, no. but no, I fast tracked that more than any other Netflix, you know, big everybody's talking about it shows, just because I don't know, the premise of it reminded me of Zero Escape and Danganronpa, you know. Mm-hmm. So the idea of let's play a killing game, I have liked media like that in the past, so let's just go for it. So
yeah, you went ham on some Saw.
I did. I watched all of the Saw well past when I should have stopped. and everybody has a different movie in their head from when that should, or for what that point should have been. Yeah. Cool. Well, I think we've got to talk about some games here eventually, not just killing games and shows about such. So why don't we do a regular kind of show, what with the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss? And why don't we get started with
The Grind.
The Grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Jala, you've been away the longest, so I will throw it to you.
Okay, so I've got two very brief mentions about two very big games, and then I'll talk about two very small games that nobody knows about.
Okay.
Because that's how I roll. Okay, so in Fire Emblem Three Houses, I've continued to play, and I just got to the time skip. I just finished that part. I'm on chapter 13 out of 22, so I'm about 50 hours into the game at this point, and I'm about a little bit, maybe over halfway. So that's where I am with that. I'm kind of chipping away at that. But then I also got Metroid Dread, except I almost didn't get Metroid Dread, and I'm going to complain about that.
Yeah, no, I got like a Cliff Notes versions of it, but you got dicked around by, what was it, UPS?
Amazon. Yeah. Amazon Direct, like Amazon Prime delivery.
Oh, no.
So I had pre-ordered this fucker like a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to come on the day of release, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna play it. Everybody on the internet is like posting, oh man, I'm already 2 hours into Metroid, oh, I'm playing it right now, I took the day off from work, whatever,
you want to play this part of the moment.
Everybody's posting and freaking out about it, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe it'll be me on lunch, because right before lunch it was like two stops away. The fucker went and sat in a parking lot somewhere about a mile from my house.
Oh, God.
I was looking. I kept on pulling it up, and it kept on showing. And I know people were like, oh, well, the GPS is off sometimes. It was two stops away, and suddenly it took until sometime after 10 p.m. for when they delivered it, allegedly. But then they didn't actually deliver it to the right place. And so I had to get it from one of my neighbors, because they didn't even deliver it to the right house after they dicked around all day long with it. God. And like, I had bitched about it on Twitter, and then actual like Amazon support people were like, we're sorry to hear that. Email us. So I did, because I was like, I'm mad.
Yeah.
Yes, I will email you. And I emailed them. I went through their whole rigmarole for, you know, escalation, because, oh shit, somebody's complaining on social media.
Right.
And then all they did was tell me, wait for 72 hours and then go to the chat bot and then they'll give you a refund. Like, not one thing about reissuing me the game or any of that stuff until Weird. 72 hours have passed and whatever else. And, you know, of course it was delivered to a neighbor's house, but like,
yeah,
that's a bunch of bullshit. It was like two streets over. It wasn't even anywhere near my actual address. So I'm like,
yeah,
I was very pissed.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything that you can do about that, because literally everything that I was doing, like, it got escalated to some manager or something.
Yeah.
And they still just told me the same spiel that was like, you know, copy paste. They sent the same copy paste that they send all the time. So And if I called on the phone, it would have been the same spiel. They would have just had somebody overseas answering me and telling me, you know, reading off of a paper, telling me the same thing. So,
yeah, it'd be like Brazil, the movie Brazil. Yeah. Passed around forever. Yeah.
So I was like, whatever. So anyway, I didn't get to play that game until like several days later because the neighbor didn't give it to me until several days later, right before the time that I was supposed to be able to go talk to the chatbot. And you know what I did? I will tell you what I did because I was this pissed. I was like, I'm going to go to the chatbot. I went to the chatbot. I requested a refund for that shit because they gave me a lot of bullshit. And so... I did, and I got my damn refund because I was pissed. I was like, you know, you just passed me around, wasted my time, made me mad. And like that was the weekend that I was like chilling and relaxing, and I had time to play the game. And then I didn't even get it until like the end of that time was up, and I had to get back to work. And like I've been on overtime for months at my job, and it is near like closing for the month, and like my job is extremely busy at that time, and so that plus we're shorthanded chronically, so nobody's getting hired.
It's a lot, so I've been fried.
I haven't had time, and like I tried to play some Metroid Dread after work. What happened was first I had to remember how to play Metroid because it has been a while because the last time I played a Metroid game was on Metroid Fusion on my GBA SP
20 years ago. Yeah.
Fucking forever ago, right? So I haven't played a Metroid since that time. So, or actually I take that back. I did play some of Return of Samus on 3DS, but I didn't play it for very long. Because it was super samey.
It wasn't really that great.
So I just kind of like set it down and didn't get back to it, unfortunately. But anyway, I played through the first actual boss. That's as far as I've gotten. Like, I need to go back through all of the first level and go look for secrets because it's a Metroid game. So, you know. But like the trajectory of my capacity to play was so jacked. Like when I first started playing, I'm like, I don't know what, I kept on pushing the wrong button. Mm-hmm. Like I'm completely control dumb when I get back to a game that I haven't played in a while because I haven't used that control scheme in a while.
Right.
And so the first night I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. The next day I started trying to play again and was a little bit better. And I'm like, okay, some progress. Cool. And then I kept on ramming my head against some of the little quick time ish events that they have where you fight these big robots called Emmys. Mm-hmm. And I kept on not understanding what it wanted me to do there, you know, or the timing or whatever. Ironically, I kept on timing the block just fine. I just couldn't get whatever they wanted me to do.
Oh, the Pelio.
So anyway, so then the next day after that, like then I, like every time I played, I incrementally got a little bit better. But then, you know, I rammed my head up against the boss one night when I was very tired and I was like, I can't. So then I had to wait for several days to play that again because I was just too tired. I was just, it's a twitchy game. And there's a reason I don't play twitchy games most of the time. It's because I don't have the hand-eye coordination. My brain's not, you know, it's fried from all the overwork, burnout from work for months and months. Uh-huh. So it's like, I'm not doing this very successfully. It's just going to make me mad. So,
and Dread is like uniquely for the series, uniquely action-based. You just kind of made a couple of passes at it. You move really fast and the enemies move pretty fast. Like it asks a lot of you, you know, and it's not like contra fast, but it is like edging toward that, you know?
Yeah. And that's part of what I noticed too. I'm like, this is faster than I remember Fusion being. Now I did actually, I think I mentioned last time that I did go and get a, you know, like a GBA SP. I rebought that. Well, I actually ordered a copy of Metroid Fusion so that I can go replay that. Because I'm like, I don't remember Metroid Fusion moving this fast. A lot of the controls are the same as what's in that game. But like, I don't remember moving this quickly, you know, and whatever. And I'm just going to complain for a second. I like that they're continuing the story of Fusion. I do not like that Adam has a voice. The AI robot that is working with Samus that's in his ship and such. I do not like that he has a voice. I liked it in Fusion where it was just text. Don't give him a voice. Let me imagine it. Mm-hmm. For one, like, that's unnecessary. And then two, I understand that it's a large basis of the mythology of Metroid. I don't care for Chozo.
Nope.
I don't care that Chozos are burns.
Uh-huh.
I don't like them, and they make everything worse when they show up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I'm not actually looking forward to seeing more of them as the game progresses, because I'm like, actually, I hate them.
Yeah, I mean, I
just, so those are a couple of things I have to say. Now, it's not that the game is fun. It plays fine. I'm having fun with that. You know, it's not that. Mm-hmm. It's just like my central nervous system is already fairly taxed with all the other things I do, trying to get all of this new fitness stuff, you know, in the works, trying to maintain overtime every week, you know, and everything, like, and doing like all the house stuff, repairs and whatever every week. It's just a lot.
Yeah.
So
it's a weirdly shaped game for the hole in your life that it would need to fill.
Yeah. And so it's like, I know I'm going to beat it, and I know I'm going to enjoy it, and I know I'm going to go back to Metroid Fusion basically right after I finish playing Dread and go through that again, just to see, because, you know, it's been so long since I played it. I know I remember liking it a lot more than you or Gary liked it, Cole.
I remembered liking it more than when we revisited it, too. I was real excited to go back to it. Continue, though. Yeah,
like I really actually like it. And like, it's not that it's a Metroid game. It doesn't have tons of story, but the story bits that show up in there, I actually really like.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, so I didn't get as much of that played as I really wanted to, because I wanted to have like a full report. But
yeah.
Oh, well, there's like 7,000 people on the internet that you know who have played this game, and you can go ahead and look at one of their reports until such a time as I have enough functionality to complete it.
Mm-hmm.
So the games I'm actually going to talk about. Okay, so I will talk about the one that is a depressing subject first, and then I will talk about the nice, cute one last, so that way I don't leave on a bad note. So I played a game, very short indie game, called Lydia. It is an adventure game, visual novel, walking sim, kind of whatever, that's about substance abuse from the perspective of a small child, developed and released in 2017 by Finnish developer Platonic Partnership. And the story is set up in chapters, each of which presents a scenario that the little girl has to process and come to terms with. The game autosaves at the start of each of these scenes, so if you have to turn it off and come back to it later, it does have a save feature.
Mm-hmm.
But the game is, like I said, it's very short. It only takes about an hour to an hour and a half to complete all the way through. It's heavy subject matter, so you may or may not be capable of absorbing all of it at one time. The Steam page compares it to the Moon in terms of being a story forward title, but I drew a lot more comparison to Among the Sleep, which is also a game about a child with a substance abusing parent.
Okay.
So it comes across as being a really personal piece. And in my research for the show, I was able to verify that, yes, the game is directly based on the real life childhood experiences of the devs.
That's a bummer. And
they wanted to make a feel bad game, and they did. The art is notable. It's by a graphic novelist. It's dark and gray with hints of color. Cole, you had drawn the comparison to The Cat Lady in terms of artistic vibe, and I think that that's really fitting, both in tone and in what it actually looks like.
Yeah.
The project of developing this game was elevated in the Finnish market when the studio collaborated with Alko. I'm not kidding. That's what it's called. Alko. Mm-hmm. The Finnish alcohol monopoly.
Huh.
The only retailer in the company that can sell wine, spirits, and beer over 5.5% alcohol by volume.
Okay.
It was tailored in such a way as to raise awareness of alcoholism and its ills, but in a way that felt real rather than being preachy.
Right, right.
And the collaboration also involved Fragile Childhood, a charity that supports children who suffer from the effects of their parents' alcohol abuse.
Huh.
The DLC was released last year in partnership with Fragile Childhood, with the proceeds of the sales going directly to the charity. The extra content gives Lydia a coloring book depicting the monsters that she faces that players can color in with bright and positive colors, demonstrating the importance of making such monsters less scary.
Yeah.
Players are also encouraged to share their captures of their colorings with the hashtag Lydia Donation. The PC sales have not been very good, but the release on the Switch boosted the impact of the game. That's how I found it, is I picked it up on the Switch store because it was on sale. A Steam user wrote a review that he hopes every parent plays this game because it helped him to reflect on his own alcohol consumption, which is, I think, pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Other folks wrote in about how it hit home to their own experiences, and I can vouch myself that it feels extremely legitimate. And extremely, unfortunately, familiar, some of it.
Right.
The way that the scenarios are written feels authentic because it is authentic. Mm-hmm. And obvious content warning that if you're triggered by substance abuse stuff or alcoholism in particular. But I found this to be really thoughtful and reflective. And overall, I would recommend it, provided that you go in prepared for what it's going to give you.
Yeah. Watch out for bummers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But I had it on my Switch for quite some time, and I just had to be like in the mood for that kind of a thing. And it was when I was waiting for Metroid Dread.
I didn't realize you took it so hard.
I'm not even kidding. That is literally when I was playing this very dark game about substance abuse and, like, you know, dark subject matter. So,
oh geez,
any questions about Lydia?
Given that it's so short, that makes me more likely to give it a throw.
Yeah, I want to say that it took me maybe an hour. It's really not very long. But again, like a lot of how things are depicted and just the writing are very evocative to me. So, you know, like I was looking at it kind of like it didn't bother me. The subject matter didn't bother me because, you know, like first off, I've come to terms with a lot of the stuff, the subject matter as it pertains to my life in particular. Mm-hmm. But also, because I was kind of looking at it more as an art piece, you know, just like an expression of these people's challenges and everything. So, you know, and looking at it that way and thinking about like the different ways that life can go and, you know, how certain actions that you take can change them, you know, is kind of where I ended up falling. I ended up being pretty reflective at the end of it. So.
Yeah, I mean, just the danger with something like that is the worry would be that it would be like frivolous or disrespectful of the subject matter. It sounds like it is not like exploiting the tragedy, but more exploring it, which feels important.
Yeah. Like I didn't get the feeling of exploitation during playing the game at all.
That's good.
You know, it just felt really like trying to work through the stuff, you know, that you have to work through, all the scars and stuff that you pile up over the years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the last thing that I have to talk about is very sweet. It's Old Friend's Dog Game.
Okay.
This is a free mobile game released in 2021 by Runaway Play, based on the Old Friend's Senior Dog Sanctuary, an actual old dog sanctuary that exists in the world. I follow them on Instagram.
I think I've seen videos from them. Yeah.
Uh-huh. All their dogs that are in the game are based on the actual dogs of the sanctuary, and you can see the real dogs in their about info section for each of the dogs, and it will link you, like you can click on it and it will take you to the Old Friend Dog Sanctuary, to like their photo page for that dog.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very cool. And fun fact, the people who made this game, Runaway Play, did sponsor at least one dog. I don't know how many other dogs they had sponsored because I don't know how much money they made on the, you know, extra in-game shop or anything. But mm-hmm. they at least sponsored one dog for a full year.
Nice.
And anyway, you make your own senior dog sanctuary. That's what it's about. And it feels to me like a more complex Neko Atsume.
Yeah, that's
which is I'm getting vibes of that. It's kind of like you're taking care of cute little animals. You're giving them toys and foods and petting them. And like Neko Atsume, you've got them coming and going. They're all like stray cats that just kind of pop in and out. But this one, you're adopting them forever. So like you start with one dog. And when you get to a certain like loyalty level or love level or whatever with the dog, then you can have another dog. And then like there's parts of story that unlock that, lead you into the next dog that ends up at your sanctuary for one or another reason. Like you have one dog to start with. And then the second dog is just like a stray in the neighborhood that just kind of is around. And it's just like a very old dog that just kind of hangs out.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Bagel the Beagle.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, you feed the dogs, you give them pats, you give them toys, you bake snacks for them, you build furnishings for the sanctuary, you take photos and post them to social media, you have followers on social media that give you donations, you do live streams for donations, and the live stream events are basically for a certain amount of time, you have requests coming in from people watching the stream, and they tell you this dog or like, give this one food or that, pet this one or whatever. So you have to, juggle around what you're doing based on the demands. And the more you match your actions to the demands that are being placed on you, the better score you get, aka more stuff that you get for your sanctuary.
Nice.
You get story bits that, there's storylines. They're not like super complex storylines, but just like the saga of learning to, deal with a dog that's fairly unapproachable or helping a blind dog, grow more confident so that he can be more at home and not scared or whatever. Those kinds of story narratives. So very, very cute. It's basically a busy clicker type of thing, but it's really cute. It has links where you can donate to the actual sanctuary. Part of the proceeds when you buy stuff goes to the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. So, it's just like a little time passer if you got nothing else to do, but you can't really focus on something for very long because, you're in a line or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like a little virtual pet.
Yeah. It's a little Tamagotchi game. So.
This is a really interesting avenue into getting funds raised for a charity. It's
I thought so. I mean, you remember I also played that Kakapo Run game, mm-hmm. which was a free game that didn't have any in-app purchases. It was just like an avenue to help you learn about the Kakapo and conservation efforts and stuff. But like this is kind of a step beyond that where you're actually able to, yes, you're paying the game developers, but you're also getting some of those proceeds to the dog sanctuary. So,
yeah.
I thought it was really neat. And I was just like, oh, that's cool. So there's Leo actually the big, big old dog Leo.
Basing it
on those who know, all right, they already know.
Basing it on the actual dogs from the shelter is such a good idea.
Because then that means that everybody who follows them is like, I want my favorite dog.
Yeah, and I have to imagine this. If this is developed locally, like the developers working with the shelter, that has to be like a really fulfilling project to do. Yeah, every aspect of this from tip to toe is just incredibly wholesome. And I'm all about it.
Well, it's actually Lydia, also was in, for both to raise awareness of a problem sponsored by like makers of said problem, the distributor for the alcohol, but then also, alcohol responsibly is fine, but I'm not anti-alcohol, mind you, but but then they also had the charity that they were working for, that they actually were raising funds for, and the money went to the charity.
Yeah.
So that was very good too.
Nice.
So
old friends dog game.
Yeah, old friends, dog game, and Lydia, and then little bits, mostly me complaining about Metroid Dread, and then, oh yeah, also I put in several more hours into Fire Emblem.
Yes.
But I can't talk about it because, you know, spoilers.
Right. You're down the story path. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's going to be real quick because really the only thing that is not homework that I have sunk any appreciable time into has been Inscription.
Yeah.
I streamed Inscription. I don't know if I'm going to, I do not think I'm going to stream it this weekend. I'm going to stream something else that's a little bit better fit for the format. Also because I found myself not talking for long stretches of the stream.
You were thinking.
I was thinking. It's kind of a demanding game on both its kind of card game deck builder kind of front, and also like the cool room escape stuff that you do in the cabin where you are locked with let's just call it the adversary. Kind of a real
a pair of eyes.
Yes. And pair hands. Of eyes and there are many masks. Yes. So I played about 4 hours of this. I don't have an awful lot to say, again, because of spoiler stuff. I am not a main guy of deck builders. The most I've gotten into one has been Monster Train, which is one of the better games we've done for WoF this year. I love Monster Train. So it's not a muscle that I flex very often. From what I can tell though, I really enjoy, kind of the decisions that are made with this, the idea that, the health is done as a, as kind of a tug of war. It's about like net damage as opposed to total damage. The fact that you have to, sacrifice creatures, in order to get the mana, one of the kinds of mana that you need to summon monsters. So you can always choose. So you've got your deck of your regular beasts that you can play to do damage and stuff like that. But you can also just draw from a pile, just where you're always going to draw a squirrel, which can be placed and sacrificed for one blood. or you can leave it and it can soak up a hit and you will have wasted that draw. But maybe you have, saved yourself, enough time, or you by that thing being killed, you've gotten a bone, which you need to summon something else. There are lots of really cool little ways that things are kind of mixed together. I was a little bit worried because of how stylized it is. And it is very stylish. It has that spooky theming to it. And kind of like how simple some of the screenshots and stuff looked, I was worried that maybe some of the play would be a little bit shallow. That is not the case. There have been some really good nail biter moments, and there are all kinds of like little insignias, like little modifiers and special abilities that are available on the cards. And figuring out ways to synergize those has been real neat as well.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that rolling up and trying to figure out what's going on, as per my usual, it was completely a failure. And I'm like, I'm sure this is real cool, but it's one of those things that you have to like have been at the beginning and been paying attention avidly to the instruction. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I cannot roll up on this one. I must.
Yeah. I didn't blame you or anybody else for being a little bit alienated. Yeah, I'm trying to think of any other stuff. And Ben, if you've played any more of this, feel free to throw in on it. I'll let you go.
I was not able to catch the streams when they were live, but I was able to watch them afterwards to kind of catch up with where you got. I beat the game last week. Cool. I kind of binged it in a couple days. Mm-hmm. It's hard to talk about it without spoiling anything, so I'll just say it's good. If you like this game, you should go back and play his other games if you haven't played that.
Yeah.
After beating the game, it sounds like, it from what I've read, that there's a lot of like Easter eggs similar to his like previous games.
Yeah, but they've got a Discord where they're basically working through it like an ARG, trying to find the seams and poking around the files and stuff.
I'm not really interested in that as much. That's like too much work. Like,
it's more fun to read about.
Yeah, and it's weird that it's weird that I feel like I'm turned off like that, because like other games where I feel like I have a fighting chance of like figuring things out, I'm like really into. Mm-hmm. But with this, it's like I'm I'm not going to like mess around with like the config files of the game to see if there's like a clue or, you know, something like that. But that shouldn't be the like major takeaway of the game. The game's really well put together. The story is really well like revealed and mm-hmm. slowly like peeled back, like what's going on. So all that's great. I was really happy with that. I saw that even in the two streams you had, noticing, I guess, like the main conceit, without spoiling anything, since this happens in the first like 5 minutes of the game, is like some of the cards will talk to you and be like, hey, this, you know, you need to get out of here and stuff like this, and like drop all these like weird, you know, messages to you that you have to try and, you know, kind of breadcrumbs of like what's going on.
Yeah.
It's fun to go back and watch it like a second time because there's certain things, certain like hints that are dropped that you might not have noticed the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very like well presented, well put together game. Great indie game. Definitely kind of sets the bar in terms of surprising the player and like designing around like surprise and wonder being an emotion you want the player to feel.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a space that Daniel Mullins, the developer, has kind of played around in for a while. And there's mm-hmm. you know meta kind of stuff that I've been just like people have just spoken about obliquely that happens throughout it. All of that is cool. Like, I think that is an essential part of it. That would ring a little bit hollow, or it'd be kind of superficial if it wasn't built on top of a cool game with cool choices. Like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. beating bosses and having, having new cards added into your random pool, you know, mm-hmm. is real cool. Like, that's a pretty stock standard way to, you know, make ongoing progression between runs. But like, I've had a lot of fun even upon dying. You do get like sent back to the beginning on your little path through the woods that the adversary is narrating as you go along. But like, I've had a lot of fun designing the death cards. You know, Ben, mm-hmm. you kind of alluded to this, but I kind of didn't realize what kind of monstrosities you could make with that and how overpowered they could be, mm-hmm. you know? So like, again, just really good ways to fail forward, which is a nice feeling and not necessarily something that a lot of, you know, games with a roguelike structure feel kind of obligated to do. But I'm happy that this one does.
Yeah, I think kind of by design he tries to make the run easier and easier yeah. as you go along to kind of progress the story.
Yeah.
There's one thing he does on your very first run through, and I think somebody can go and experience this after they like have played the game and kind of mastered like the synergies and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's like the first time you fight the second boss, if you are beating him too easily, he puts 8 sharks down. Did you get to that point?
I didn't get the 8 sharks. I did fight and beat the angler. I did a really good job. I beat the first two bosses on the first try.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah. I saw that part of the run. Yeah. Yeah.
I never got shark maxed.
Yeah.
I think I got past that on my first run, but I don't know how, because then when I went back to try and do it, I could not do that. So
how in the world would you would you deal with that? Like, what defense is there that would last more than like two rounds?
Kill a single lane and just throw up squirrels and everything everywhere else. Try and eke out a win in a couple rounds. But yeah, just like the theming is so cool that like the ripping out a tooth to get a point of damage mm-hmm. is just like so grotesque and so like fitting with that theming and stuff.
Yeah.
When you said that you were thinking about not streaming it, I was like, oh, he's probably just going to try and like binge play this in the next couple of days. That's what I assumed was the reason for it. But, yeah.
any number of reasons. Trying to think about what is conducive for a stream game, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, also like, I don't know, I get a little bit insecure about doing like strategy yeah. or puzzle heavy stuff that I haven't yeah. really done before, just because yep. I don't know. I get anxious that like people would be waiting in line behind me, you know, and just like mm-hmm. saying, oh, hurry up, make the obvious move. Well, it's not obvious to me. Damn it. Stuff like that.
Cole, people will watch you play like the lawn mowing simulator game.
I know.
You should just understand that we like you generally, and spending time with you is fine.
Yeah. You know, it's,
I understand where you're coming from. I think one of the duck streams, I tried to do Pipe Push Paradise and felt uh-huh. very insecure like doing that, because yeah. anytime there's silence and me thinking, I'm mm-hmm. just like, oh no, this is yeah. taking too long.
There's just an alarm that goes off when there's silence.
Yeah.
Yeah. When are you going to start doing ear licking streams? That's what I want to know.
I never. Oh God, what the fuck is an ear licking stream?
I assume you got a new studio because a hot tub fits in there, right?
the studio that I moved that computer into is actually smaller than the room that I moved it out mm-hmm. of. So it's not so much a hot tub as it is a mug that I put coffee in. Okay. But I put it real close to the camera.
Okay. It's like yeah. forced perspective, like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Yeah. There's still a lot of foreshortening going on. Yeah. But no, Inscription's real cool. I'm excited to dip back into it. I need to play at least like a half hour here pretty soon, because I don't want the rules of the game to leave my head, which they will do mm-hmm. if I leave yeah. it if I leave it dormant.
I would love to watch you play the game, even if it's not on a stream, if it doesn't make you uncomfortable.
It might make me uncomfortable. I don't know.
That's fine. I have a very judgmental personality, I suppose. So that, this is where it backfires, perhaps.
That is the opposite of the case. The problem is entire.
Ben, you are just so chill. Like, whatever.
Oh, man. So that's all I had. It makes sense to segue to you, Ben. What sure. Did you have anything else about Inscription? And what else have you been dipping into?
Nothing more for Inscription, not because I don't want to talk about it, just because you can't really talk about it without spoiling it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just worth playing. I don't know how much it costs.
It's like $20, $25, something like that. It's
yeah, you
it's
can not, rip out, you can rip out a tooth for a discount.
it's $18 right now. I think that's completely the price of admission. So
yeah, yeah.
I'll say this as a fun Easter egg, is all the achievements of Inscription are named after magic cards.
Ooh,
fun that's fact. Fun.
Yeah.
Which I did not notice until someone else pointed out to me.
Yeah. People that I've heard, like people in the chat said that like beat it over the course of like 3 days, but like 19 hours, 20 hours, something like that, which yeah. is...
Yep.
You know, short for that yeah. kind of game, but like for a narrative forward horror game, that is a lot. So
and I do want to state again, like the presentation on this compared to the Hex, like his previous game or Pony Island, is like heads and toes above, you know, like it's really well presented.
Yeah.
Like the style's completely there, and like even though the controls might feel jank with like the kind of blockiness with how the camera turns and you move or whatever, that's not like without purpose, or that's not like a technical limitation.
I'm not turned off by that. The movement and exploration just feels like Legend of Grimrock or any number mm-hmm. of like dungeon crawlers to me.
Yeah.
So that's yeah. not a big deal for me at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Word. Yep. Sweet game. All right, I just have a bunch of other small things to talk about. In fact, there's nothing too new outside an Inscription. That was like the big new one that I played last week. Mm-hmm. But I played another couple levels of Back 4 Blood with friends. Continues to be a Left 4 Dead type game. a couple things I noticed. One, melee's still awesome. You just run in there with like I forget what I had this last time. I had a fire axe, I think, this time. And it was just like... just easy to mow everyone down. So, but it's enjoyable. It's not, it doesn't feel cheap. Like it feels great. Yeah. Let's see. One other thing. They have this weird thing where they have these like side objectives in the levels where it's like, we need to save these like five or six people, and it'll be like at a random location in the map. And mm-hmm. you do that, and then the objective will say, go to the safe house. but it does not give you like an icon on like where on the map it is.
Oh no.
So you have to start like backtracking, and it'll be somewhere like not far back, but like maybe, you know, like a little bit back, like a minute or two back of like running backwards. And so it's like, and we've noticed it in the two levels that we played, and it just seemed very weird. So I don't know if it's like the saving people is optional and they tell you that when you get to the safe house the first time or something, but it felt very weird. Cause like with modern game design, you expect to keep going forward. You're looking for like where the lights are or like what's, you know, what's indicating what the path forward is.
Yeah.
And then it's like after 5 minutes
left for dead exploring
that, you're like, yeah. So after like 5 minutes of doing that, you just go backwards and you're like, oh, here it is. Okay, let's go.
Weird.
The easiest way to make the escort quest not insufferable was to go back through areas you'd already cleared.
Yeah, but I shouldn't. But again, that shouldn't be like the narrative of the game. The game's like pretty fun to play. It's very Left 4 Dead-y. The weapon variety is pretty appreciated. Like even within, like I guess Left 4 Dead had this where it's like they had different shotguns and they had different rifles and they kind of progressed to like higher levels as you went through. They have the same sort of thing here, but the guns feel, I guess, maybe a little bit more distinct from one another. Where it's like the rifle. Yeah, like, and yeah. And then you have different, like, upgrade options for each one when you go back to the base that you accrue through some sort of thing that I haven't fully realized yet, since I've only been back to the base, like, one or two times and haven't explored it completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cards still continue to be, give you, like, small impacts, but I haven't, like, gone through and, like, went through all the cards that I've had and tried to make, like, a cohesive deck or anything like that. I'm still using the beginner deck. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do outside of the actual game, I guess. But I haven't really sunk much time into that, because when you play a game like that, you're just like, let's kill some zombies and turn our minds off and hang out. So
yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. Yeah, so I don't have anything else to say about Back 4 Blood besides that, so I'm gonna move on.
Okay.
Storybook Brawl, I said I was done with it, but I keep getting pulled back in.
Any particular reason, or is it just kind of you just find yourself wanting to?
No, I was going to claim it's not my fault this time, I swear. The friends who I had in town wanted to watch me play it, and so they like asked me to play it, and so I did that and kind of demoed and like showed kind of like what synergies you're going after and stuff like that. And even like right now, my friend on the East Coast who came and visited, I saw that he fired up Storybook Brawl this evening. So I think it's kind of spread to other people. But the thing that we were trying to look at this week is I was trying to like see how I could climb the Evo ranking and see if it. So I played it like maybe two or three nights over the weekend. And so I was able to get it to like the 3300s of the ranking. And so it was rank like in the 5000s rank. So I was able to jump a couple thousand places. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be on it long term or not. Like I might pick it up or play it once or twice, like in a week or something.
Damn.
But yeah, it's good. I don't want to talk trash about it. It's a great game. Like I sunk a bunch of time in it. But I do feel like I've kind of like wound down with it, especially when, it does still feel like with some of the meta, like you just pick dwarves and you're guaranteed to be in the top three. And that kind of makes it like uninteresting.
It flattens it.
Yeah. It just makes the strategies like kind of too simple or too uninteresting. Or you get punished for trying like creative things, right? If you're like sweating about your ranking and stuff like that. So, yeah, but maybe I should just play it for fun. What an idea is that?
Why would you do that? I mean, it sounds like you're making faster progress than you initially thought that you would.
That's true. And I haven't felt too punished with, like, I have like gotten some losses. I've gotten some seventh or eighth place finishes, but I've got a couple of first or second places finishes, so it's kind of balanced out. I did get to play with the update that they had made, I think in the previous week I talked about, but I hadn't played with. It's kind of interesting. There's a few new spells that are interesting that's trying to like supplement certain strategies. For instance, they have one artifact where any creature that has a quest gets +1/+1 attack, and the treasure they give is one higher.
Okay.
So it kind of is reinforcing trying to do these questing creatures there are fewer that are sprinkled throughout the game. So that like things like that are just like really small, like positive balances that are like moving in the right direction, I think. So yeah, I'm happy to see that sort of those sorts of balances. They've nerfed a couple strategies. There's a vamp, Dracula, Sad Dracula is like one of the heroes you can be, where it had like a really OP like slay reward where to like permanently buff your front row creatures.
Oh wow.
They nerfed that once. It was still really good, so they nerfed it again, and now it seems okay.
It wouldn't stay nerf. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're doing a good job, I think, with balancing things. Like it feels, that part feels good. It's just, I guess Dwarves is like the only one that stands out where it's like something needs to kind of change with that, I guess, so that it's not like so consistently winning. But I don't know how that works. Like maybe you're always going to have some strategy that consistently wins. So yeah, not sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, still fun. Other people seem to enjoy it, I guess, or showing it to other people, they seem to enjoy it. So that's cool. And then I just have one more to talk about. It's another old one, but it's Mindustry or Mindustry or whatever.
Yeah.
I started another level of that after building like a full factory on a planet. I unlocked titanium, which was one of the resources that I hadn't seen yet. And I'm, this is like also like super sweaty where I'm like pausing, make sure I have like a plan to build before I do anything just to not like waste time. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of gets into it, is like I've already built my coal and my copper like factories and set up turrets and everything and set up like power, and I've only gotten through one wave of one flying creature.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's like it's it, and so that's the thing, is I'm not sure if I'm like overdoing it or whatever, if I'm like playing it too. Like maybe that's like something you should do on like a harder difficulty or something. So maybe I should just like unpause it and enjoy the game. But yeah, so we'll see. But I just need to like sit down and devote some more time to that. But yeah, so that's still pretty good. And there's still like technologies I haven't unlocked yet. So I do appreciate the pacing in that game, that they are like slowly rolling out the tech. I looked at all the tech that Titanium unlocks after I like mined it for a little bit on the new map. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's mostly like upgrades to existing things, like faster conveyor belts, but they need, that's one thing, a faster driller, but the driller needs power, which isn't the case with previous drillers.
Okay.
So it's like interesting balance.
It changes your infrastructure like, needs.
Yeah. Like higher reward, but then higher, a slightly higher cost. So mm-hmm. you have to like kind of learn a new strategy to get it to work. Yeah, so that game's fun, and the level that I'm playing now, like ocean type level, which they have not done yet. And so I think what it's encouraging is some of the turrets benefit from having like water pumped into them as cooling them down when they fire.
Oh, so they can fire more, longer. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think it's trying to build around that strategy. And since the only creature I saw was a flying one, it might be that, because they might have a hard time like running around on land if it's a bunch of like, ground units. So that's kind of, I think, the direction I'm going to try and build the factory in.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so yeah, that's a fun game still, too.
Nice.
So a bunch of small, fun games this week.
Yeah, I've looked closer and closer at Mindustry every time we've talked about it, and it looks like it would be my jam.
Yeah, it's, and I think it's like $5. So it's like, you know.
Sounds like a lot of game for $5.
Yeah. Yep. And again, to reinstate Storybook Brawl, free game. If anyone has like a trading card game itch, that has like gotten me off of Magic Arena too. So it's like, that's like your, that's like your cigarette patches for trading card games.
You step down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So.
Yep.
Cool. So Inscription, Back for Blood, Storybook Brawl, and Mindustry.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, I thought about playing Back for Blood, and then I got distracted.
Okay.
So with everyone talking about it and some friends I want to play with, like I think I'm going to pick up Xbox Game Pass for PC. Obviously, I don't have an Xbox. And I'm very interested in like their cloud gaming and all that stuff. And I meant to do it this week and then just never quite got around to it.
Yeah. Best laid plans.
Yeah, I did lots of research on it. I found out that while you can play all the cloud games and there's a pretty big library, you can't play cloud games with a mouse and keyboard, even if you're on PC.
Oh, so yeah, they wouldn't want to give you like an advantage if you played a cloud version of like a competitive online game.
The cloud system you're jacking into an Xbox.
Yeah. Okay, that makes a little bit of sense.
That makes sense since they have multiplayer in the game where it's like adversarial or whatever. That's weird that they would do that for co-op though.
I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah. But you've got a controller that you can use on your keyboard or on your computer, right?
Yeah. The other thing I researched is confirmed that the PS4 controller is compatible.
Nice.
So that's cool that they did that, made that happen. Obviously makes the audience for the service that much broader. Mm-hmm. It never materialized. So if anyone wants to play Back for Blood, or I'm also looking at Sea of Thieves, mm-hmm. which I can actually run on my computer. So Back for Blood is the thing I was looking at being like, I think I'm a little too weak to run this, but the cloud system might allow me to do it. Mm-hmm. But I'd have to be playing on controller. Sea of Thieves, I'll just be able to download and play.
Yeah.
But yeah, next week I expect to have lots of Game Pass goodies to talk about.
Nice. There's plenty of good stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get around to playing anything, or was it all plans?
All plans, no action. I haven't even pulled the trigger to buy it yet, which is a good thing because I haven't played it. So I'm min-maxing my time here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the first time I actually have a stretch where I know I'll be able to play will probably be when I pull the trigger.
But those
don't happen often.
Yeah, take a look around. Oftentimes there will be a deal that they run where you get like the first month for a dollar or something like that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so... Be a nice little life hack for how to how to not spend as much money on that kind of good service that is a ridiculous value anyway. Yeah,
I'll feel good that I saved money no matter the amount. Apart from that, I also anytime I actually had that I might have spent on new games in Game Pass, I wound up just playing more Trackmania.
Right.
So that's fun as well. But nothing new to talk about there.
Nice.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that sounds like a segment to me.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. And this is a big one, so we're going to try our best to get through as many as we can. Jala, what is the question that we ask the nice people?
Well, Dennis posted it. He phrased it differently. Oh, goodness. Okay.
He did.
He rephrased my question, but it was, according to Dennis, do you ever listen to video game music apart from video games? If so, which music and when? Bonus, are there any soundtracks you listen to, but you haven't played the actual game?
Yeah. And let's get started here. We're going to try and rapid fire because we really did get a lot of responses here. Douglas says the Doom soundtrack when I am working and driving home. That's unclear if it's the Doom 2016 or the Doom original.
Either would be good.
Yeah. I just love the idea of just stopping at an intersection and blasting those MIDI horns. let's see here. Dennis, what does Rick say?
Rick says, Nobu Uematsu, for sure. I've always loved the way he uses leitmotifs and orchestration in Final Fantasy IX especially. Also, lately, I've been listening to Hideki Naganuma of Jet Set Radio fame, the self-proclaimed CEO of Funky Fresh Beats.
Jet Set Radio's soundtrack is a good, it's a good way to go, with the exception of Dragula, which is regrettably present in the American version. And then Nobu Uematsu for sure. Final Fantasy IX is not a soundtrack that I have like memorized. When I think of leitmotifs in his music, I think of Final Fantasy VI, because that is more styled after an opera. So you get a little bit of Peter and the Wolfing going on there. Ben, what does Sean say?
Sean says the last video game soundtrack that I truly fell in love with is Nier Automata. It's incredibly beautiful and relaxes me so well.
It's a good soundtrack. Both that and the first Nier soundtracks are ridiculously good.
Also a Game Pass game, I believe.
Oh, yeah. And I've done at least one ending on it. That is only like one quarter of the game, but yeah, I enjoyed what I played. Let's see. Jala, what does Allison say?
Allison says, not a day goes by that I don't listen to the Sayonara Wild Hearts OST. Wonderful game, even better soundtrack.
That's one that I missed. That was an early Apple Arcade game initially. Has a really cool aesthetic. Hmm. Nice. Let's see here. Eli writes, I've listened to far more Silent Hill music, both while writing and playing tabletop roleplay, than I've played the games. Great ambiance for Vampire the Masquerade. And second, Hollow Knight, one of my favorite games, is a common listen for me. Somebody posted something and it moved up. But specifically, the track Nosk, played on a loop as a go-to for me when I'm running a combat scene in mini games. Yeah, that's a very that is a very tense boss fight. Nosk is sad one too, if I remember correctly. God, Hollow Knight rules.
Yeah, scoring your TTRPG sessions is definitely an excuse to listen to lots and lots of good video game music.
That is one of the most tempting sides of being a DM. I would love scoring it more than I think I would like writing the actual scenario. Dottie, stop it! Stop biting my hand.
Build entire campaigns around a single moment you want to use a particular song for.
Yeah. Let's see here, Dennis. What does Phil say?
Phil says, "Man, good timing. Considering I've been listening to the Final Fantasy XIV soundtrack lately, I've put a fair amount of game music on my workout playlist. Some hits from several series, such as Mega Man X, Killer Instinct, Final Fantasy, etc., definitely serve to keep me motivated. And of course, Guile's theme goes with everything."
Yeah, some good standbys on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see, Ben. What does Ryan say?
Ryan says, I listened to Persona 5 and all the Final Fantasy soundtracks up through 10. Have them on a good old compact disc. Mm. Final Fantasy 6 and Final Fantasy 7 soundtracks make great background music for when I'm doing other stuff. Never played Persona 4, but I do like the soundtrack, own it, and listen to it occasionally.
Yeah. Persona soundtracks would be the one, specifically Persona 5. I listened to that soundtrack and have not played the game yet.
I have Persona 5. I haven't played it yet because it's on the you know, PlayStation that I have to play on the, you know, living room, in the living room, and that's shared. So
that's a rough putt for a long game like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why they haven't put out a Switch version of that, I will never know. Yeah.
Switch for everything. Come on.
Let's see here. Jala, what does Martinez say?
Martinez says, the original World of Warcraft soundtrack probably received a few thousand spins. Fantastic soundtrack. My favorite, however, is Jets and Guns, original soundtrack by Machine Supremacy. Amazing stuff.
I've never heard of Jets and Guns or Machine Supremacy. Let's see. Alex writes, there are some NES soundtracks that are so deeply embedded in my brain, that I listen to them just to get a charge out of it. For instance, the title screen music for Solstice by the amazing Tim Follin. Another one that always gets me is the Bionic Commando soundtrack. The level select screen music is this amazing earworm, and the Mega Man 2 and Mega Man 3 soundtracks are all-time highlights. I especially like to listen to those during a workout session or the like. So high energy that they are irresistible. I'm listening to the Solstice one again right now, and it's incredible that someone could make music like that with the NES hardware. It even impressed me as a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Love NES soundtracks.
Yep.
And the Bionic Commando soundtrack does not get enough love. I'm happy that somebody mentioned it here.
Yeah.
Dennis, what does Rookie say?
Rookie says, I only listen to music when I'm working out. All other would-be music time is taken up by podcasts. But I do have a cardio playlist that includes warming up with Snake Eater. It builds really slowly and leaves you in a good place to maintain your pace. A metal version of the Zelda 2 Palace theme in the middle. And Sonic Adventure 2's Escape from the City near the end to get me to go all out before finishing. I work for my local city, so I plan to play that last one on my last day as well.
Nice. It's always good to have your exit plan.
That's great. It's so funny, like in the days of like actually making a CD playlist for someone, you would think so hard about the order of songs.
Oh, and I guess
that is still relevant for a workout playlist. But that it has largely gone away. It is largely a lost art.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No. The amount of time that I spent figuring out the right sequencing, and of course you began and ended on the same song. Come on.
Oh, is that right?
that was one of my go-tos. There? Yeah, yeah, yeah. let's see. That was you, Ben. What does Jack say?
Jack says, I didn't play Hotline Miami 1 or 2 until this calendar year. I've been rocking the soundtracks to both for nearly 5 years. It was retroactively interesting to see where each of those songs was slotted into the game when I finally played them.
One of the best licensed soundtracks on Hotline Miami and Hotline Miami 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jala, what does Chris say?
Chris says, I like the band British Sea Power, so the Disco Elysium soundtrack wins by technicality.
God, that's such a good soundtrack. Whirling in Rags is a bop. Yeah. Callum writes, I have tracks from Final Fantasy VII and VIII on my regular playlist. Boring answer for me. Nothing wrong with boring. I cannot cast stones at boring.
Classic answer, let's say.
Yeah. You only have a limited amount of time. Listen to something that's going to be good. Dennis, what does Patrick say?
Patrick says, I tend to listen to different Final Fantasy soundtracks all the time, depending on how I'm feeling. Mostly this is going to test my reading of Roman numerals, 11, 14, and 7R ones recently, though I've done 7 and 8. A bunch the past year. I also really enjoyed the Destiny.
12 and
oh, I don't recognize that. Destiny 2. Destiny 2 soundtracks as background. Oh, I just clicked the wrong page.
For work and cleaning.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I somehow clicked the thumb mouse button on my mouse.
Weird. No, that probably showed all your windows. Yeah.
Yeah, it goes back a page.
Weird. Thing. Yeah.
Stupid Roman numerals.
two of those. You got all of them right except for 12 and 13.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
Got me.
I wanted to be clear.
12 and 13. Instead of whatever, 7 and 8.
Yeah. Final Fantasy being the anchor in this race, for sure.
Guys, I'm supposed to help teach my kids math. This is bad.
I mean, they're not watching. They're not Romans, and they're not watching silent movies. So you should be good for a while. Get them into the Rocky movies. That's how I learned Roman numerals. Yeah. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Creed.
There is Rocky 5.
Oh, 5. Excuse
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it wasn't very good, but there was Rocky 5.
Rocky right.
that is a joke on The Simpsons where Bart knows Roman numerals because of the Rocky movies, but it is true to my experience. yeah. Let's see. Ben, what does Greg say?
Greg says, I love video game music and listen to it all the time while surfing online, playing a video game that has inferior music or working. The classic franchises are popular with me, Castlevania, Final Fantasy, Mega Man, etc. And I've also listened to music for games that I've never played, such as Dark Souls.
Yeah. It's a good way to go.
As long as there's a Dark Souls mentioned in the multiplayer, it doesn't matter if you've played it or not.
let's see, Jala, what does Jeff say?
Jeff says, during college, Final Fantasy 7 through 10 were mainstays for studying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Zach says, honestly, video game music only seldom stands out to me. It can help set the mood or draw me into what's going on, but I don't usually listen to it, with the exception of the music that plays during the first ride to Mexico and the ending of Red Dead Redemption and the entire Bastion soundtrack. It sounds like you enjoy Southwestern guitars, is what I imagine. And the Bastion soundtrack, also a standby. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dennis, what does Warren say?
Warren says, I regularly listen to Kuze's theme from Yakuza 0. All the boss themes are great in that game, but I grew very attached to Kuze's over the course of the game. Mild spoilers for Yakuza 0, but he puts a link to it.
Yeah.
Very cool, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yakuza games have good music. Let's see. Ben, what does David say?
Dude says, I listen to a lot of game music at work since it's kind of designed to be on in the background. The game music I listen to depends on my mood. Happy times, The Messenger, Hades, Paradise Killer. Sad times, Nier Automata and Silent Hill 2.
Yeah. Oh, there's happy stuff in Nier Automata too. It's just wistful. It's wistful. Silent Hill 2 is a drag.
It's a real walk in the park, but the park looks really fucked up.
Oh gosh. Yeah, that's the last one. The last response here is Jala. You posted
linking so that people can listen to the thing that I will mention.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and ask you. What's your response, Jala?
So the whole question stemmed because I was discussing, like, Dave and I were in the car. We were going somewhere, and one of the songs from the Lone Wolf Remastered soundtrack came up, and I was talking to him about it. I cranked it up, and he'd never played the game. That is the mostly text game, but it actually has like an action-oriented fighting sequence.
Yeah.
Game based on the Lone Wolf Choose Your Own Adventure type books from back in the day. And anyway, I've talked about that on the podcast previously, but I love that soundtrack, and I have the entire soundtrack on, you know, like various playlists. And so that was kind of generating my interest in talking about this, because we ended up listening to the entire soundtrack. It's very short. Mm-hmm. Throughout the whole ride, and you know, we were discussing, you know, just like the layering to it and everything like that. And, you know, just kind of chit-chatting about it. So that's where that's why I was thinking, hey, what's like a soundtrack of something that you have that you'd like, that you listen to, but maybe you don't actually, you've never actually played the game, or you've only barely played the game. Like, I listen to game music all the time, particularly when I'm working out, but also when I'm working or doing other stuff. I have a very, very large music library of like 40,000 plus songs of various genres. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I have some that for soundtracks, you know, games for soundtracks for games that I have not played, such as Neverwinter Nights. And yeah. And I played like a smidge of Binding of Isaac and Bastion, but I like those soundtracks a lot and I listen to them a lot, but I only played like less than an hour of either one of those games.
Yeah.
So in Lone Wolf, I actually really like that game, and I streamed some of it at one point in time. So that is an archive thing up on my YouTube. So you can also find me at Jalachan there too.
Nice.
If you want to look at that. How about you guys?
I talk about this a lot. You know, I enjoy having non-lyrical music playing if I'm, you know, working around the house when I'm not listening to a podcast, which is a lot of the time I'm listening to a podcast, but music is good for focus. Yeah, I mean, there are the standbys. There's the Machinarium soundtrack. Chrono Cross, Celeste, Undertale. I'm literally just flipping through my Spotify. But
I will tell you, since watching you play Chrono Cross, the fight music has been stuck in my head ever since.
It's real catchy
because I heard it so much.
yeah, and I answered during the responses that like probably Persona would be one that sticks with me. Oh, Paradise Killer. Here recently too is a new one that's been thrown on that has has killer music.
Yeah, see, like I've got Persona 4, I've got Danganronpa, Lone Wolf, and some other various ones. Some of which are like, you know, like I listen to Lone Wolf soundtrack. Not all the tracks on that mm-hmm. are energetic. A lot of them are kind of moody and, you know, like really backgroundy, but like I will listen to them because I just like get put in a place, you know. Mm-hmm. So even if I'm doing, you know, like heavy lifting or something, I will still listen to that soundtrack. So.
Nice. Yeah. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, I really don't have anything recent, so I guess my secret shame is I don't listen to video game music outside of video games.
Shame.
I know. The one example, just because of the framing of like listening to outside of the video game, that came to mind was the Jet Meadows soundtrack, which if you took the PS1 disc and put it into a CD player, you would play the soundtrack. So by definition, you had to listen to it outside the video game. so we were very tickled by that as kids. I think the Bastion soundtrack is the closest thing that I've really like listened to outside the game. I kind of bounced off of Bastion because I wasn't playing with a controller and didn't really understand what was going on, and just, you know, like I played it once, but I had listened to the soundtrack a couple times. But that also was years ago. So
yeah,
it's I guess I don't do a ton of video game music listening outside of games.
Yeah.
Perfectly acceptable answer.
Perfectly acceptable. Ben, how about you?
So yeah, the Moon album that's off of Hotline Miami is one that I haven't played the game, but I've listened. I think it's great. Specifically Undertale Megalovania, I never heard in the game, but
the 10-minute long prog rock that they did, the song that they have on there.
Yeah.
I have heard that one.
Yeah.
And then Celeste is a game I have played, but I have two of those on my like main like music playlist. So
nice. Good stuff. Yeah. Good question. I always like talking about video game music. And I find that people enjoy that topic as well. So good question, Jala. Good synthesis, Dennis. Thank you for posting. Thank you for thinking of questions. Thanks everybody for responding. Thanks all around.
Set and spike right there.
Yeah. Thank you. If you would like to participate in these, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it's time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us that are exciting to us. Jala, what is Concerned Ape doing?
That person is creating a new video game called Haunted Chocolatier, where ghosts sell artesian choco to folks in a castle. It's from the maker of Stardew Valley, if you don't know who Concerned Ape is. Anyway, not many details are out at the moment, but it is a single player RPG confirmed for PC with other platforms likely to follow. And you explore the castle and surrounding town to find rare ingredients to make chocolates, and to have it has more of an emphasis on action role playing. The trailer has melee and archery combat in it, but it's still a town game where you're trying to fit in and talk to people and everything. It's still in very early production, and Concerned Ape has said that they are not going to even put out a release date at this time, just so that they don't have, like, you know, stress and mental health issues about that.
They've earned that as well with the quality of their first game.
Yes.
Excuse me. Everyone has earned to be able to work by without being mental a person. Health issues.
Yeah,
they've earned the right to be as coy as they want about timing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, for sure. So, but anyway, so yeah, like I did, as everyone is well aware, I have like very little to no interest in Stardew Valley, but this one is one that I would be somewhat interested in checking out. So. That is all I have to say about it. It has Choco and little ghosts that look like bonbons that actually have bonbons on their heads as they walk around with smiles on their faces and sell them to customers.
Nice. Yeah, this doesn't come entirely out of left field. Stardew Valley, they're mining. You do combat when you go down into the ruins and stuff. So there is kind of a precedent for this in Concerned Ape's previous work.
Yeah. I heard he also had to tweet out that to clarify that this was not a Stardew Valley like DLC, that this was a standalone game and separate from that.
Yes. Yeah. And presumably is its own paid product, as opposed to being a free update to a game that he released 7 years ago.
What? He's not going to keep making free content for everyone forever?
consumer revolt. I've got a story. This is more in the line of the old Portraits of Shame, but it just was funny. So last year, the government did things to try and help people, such as, you know, putting out COVID relief money. There was a man in Georgia who took out an EIDL, economic injury disaster loan, in order to ostensibly prop up his business. through the hard times, the hardship of the pandemic. However, prosecutors who are levying fraud charges against this person for allegedly doing this, they are alleging that this Georgia man used a sizable portion of their loan, more than one fifth of it, to buy a $57,789 Pokemon card. A first edition holographic Charizard in very good condition, there's a little bit of wiggle room. You know, you can justify a lot of things as a business expense. You cannot do that. This is bad. That is a bad use of that money that could have gone to somebody else.
Twist, his day job is at a rare Pokemon card collecting company.
Okay. Oh, well,
of the type, which I'm sure exists in many forms.
Yeah. Nothing to see here. Move along. I normally like to bring things that are kind of exciting. And I was just thinking, God, 20 years ago, when I was just really probably the most into collecting Pokemon cards and playing Pokemon stuff 21 years ago, never would have thought that in 2021, like Pokemon would still be around enough to be like, a story. But then I realized, oh, that's actually not that special because nothing is allowed to die. So, you know, Pokemon isn't allowed to die. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are about to die. So I'm kind of at sea here. If this person did commit wrongdoing, you know, I would hope that justice is able to see its course.
To determine his guilt, he has to play a game with the card in his deck. It's like a witch trial, you know, do they sink or float kind of thing. It's like if he wins, he's innocent. If he loses, he's guilty.
Yeah. Whenever I see one of these, I go, like a story like this, I go and I look at my Pokemon cards. None of them are exceptionally valuable. I have a holographic Charizard, but it's second edition and therefore worthless.
plus like everything needs to be in like a plexiglass case, you know, over the years for it to be a rated 10, you know.
No, I played with these when I was a kid because they were fun toys. I liked the game that they were a part of, you know.
God, Cole.
I know, right? Reckless.
You know, my little niece is collecting Pokemon cards. I bought her some with a little pouch for her birthday.
So. Nice. Does she play the game?
Does she take good care of her cards?
I have no idea. She's up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
I would not know. Huh. She has a card case for them, though. So
no, very cool. Yeah, I've got a Pokemon binder. It's officially Pokemon branded from like 2001, and it's got Pokemon stickers all over it.
Nice.
Yeah, because I never throw any fucking thing away. Anyway, Dennis, what's happening with Returnal?
Yeah, this is a Portrait of Shame redeemed.
Okay.
Or returned, I guess. Mm-hmm. Returnal is...
Redeemled.
Yeah, redeemled. So, you know, Returnal is one of the closest thing the PS5 has to a system seller in my mind. Like, that is the only game I've seen that I've been like, man, I really want to play that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's gotten all kinds of acclaim. It is a very good game. With caps, and there was one notable bad thing that it came out with that everyone just kind of scratched their head at, and that was there was no save function. Not like it was all Iron Man, where if you stopped playing and started again, you had to start where you stopped. Just there was no save function. And while, you know, you can put the PS5 into rest mode and come back to the game, kind of leave it running, if anything caused the game to shut down, such as starting another game in some instances or updating your system in other instances, you would lose your progress. And in a roguelike where kind of getting the right seed and getting that god run where everything goes right is so important, and particularly one that the runs can take hours, that is very painful to lose that. So there was outcry. The developer promised, we'll fix this. Like we are looking strongly at fixing it, I think was their phrasing. And they finally have. So the game got patched with a photo mode, which is awesome, and with a save. And it's a pretty good save too. Like it's not just kind of restart you in the area or anything like that. You can save as long as there aren't enemies nearby. And when you restart, it is you exactly where you were.
Oh, nice.
Which is very nice. I always appreciate when games do that versus kind of starting you in the vicinity of where you were at a predetermined point.
Yeah. It's picking up at a checkpoint or something like that, or snapping into grid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that they did this so well. And certainly players who were frustrated to lose saves are happy that they did it well. And this just kind of bumps its stock in my eyes for that point in the future when I own a PS5.
Same. One day, you guys.
When they make more than three of them. Yeah. So I mean, it's trite to say at this point, but it is a wonderful thing about the medium that things can be fixed and changed after release.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is wonderful unless it is used as an excuse to publish an unfinished game.
True. Then it messes with the incentives.
Yeah. A broken unfinished game, I will say.
Yes. Ben, round us out with this movie trailer that people have opinions about, and I am just so tired.
I don't know what the meta narrative is about this, but I thought Dennis would talk about this, but they released an Uncharted trailer over the past week. Mm-hmm. So it kind of shows the characters who are going to be in the movie, Tom Holland's Nathan Drake. This is the point I wanted to talk about is, Mark Wahlberg is Sully.
Yeah.
I've heard enough like really shitty stories about things Mark Wahlberg did as a kid back in Boston. Or as a young adult back in Boston, that like I kind of can't look at that fool anymore. So,
like, I don't know. Here's my beef with it is like Naughty Dog talks like to the skies about how they care about their characters and they're very, very picky about like who's going to make a film because they want to make sure they get the characters right and that sort of thing. And then they cast Sully as somebody who is up for the Nathan Drake role in another instance of the movie. She's probably some sort of like deal, or maybe they liked him personally or whatever, but it's totally not a fit for the character. So maybe I'm wrong and the dude's got some range or something, but on first blush it just seems like a terrible casting.
You think he's waiting for this one? This is when he's finally gonna do it?
I need to
go to the flashback sequences in 3 that has Nathan Drake as a child interacting with a young Sully and see how Sully was depicted there. I wonder if that would ameliorate this at all. But yeah, it's super weird choice.
I mean,
is it weirder than Tom Holland as Nathan Drake though?
I mean, that is pretty weird. I know Tom Holland as a somebody who plays a teenager, which is just really young for Nathan. He's a fine actor, but he is young.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Teenage Spider-Man. But the movie seems to be, you know, and both those castings validate going towards a bit of an origin story for Nathan and a before the games timeline, which is, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
And that gives you a lot more license to cast people in the role. But yeah, especially I think in the lines that Wahlberg had in the trailer, and they were few, there was no attempt to be Sully-ish.
Yeah.
It was Mark Wahlberg. Like they didn't cast Mark Wahlberg as Sully. They replaced Sully with Mark Wahlberg.
Well, I mean, Burt Reynolds is dead, so there's not much he can do, you know?
It's tough.
If we're fantasy casting, you know, if we're heaven casting this, then, you know, obviously.
Slap a fucking mustache on him. Come on.
That can't be a title.
One of my other beefs with the trailer is one of the set pieces of the film is Nathan Drake hanging from cargo out of a airplane, which is taken like pretty directly from Uncharted 3.
Mm-hmm.
So does he just do that twice in his life okay.
I please see Exhibit A. Uncharted 3 does not exist.
Wait,
it is original.
Wait a second. Dottie stepped on the keyboard and stopped the recording there. In the middle of that exchange. Yeah. Dude, yeah.
She's advancing.
we will see the backup will pick that up. I did not mean to drag us to a halt. That is very funny. She's sabotaging me.
he gives me attention if I press this key on the keyboard.
he freaks out and makes loud noises when I do this. Yeah. We'll see. I didn't know that Mark Wahlberg was considered for Nathan Drake. I was going to make a joke that this movie has been in development so long that all of the Drakes they initially auditioned aged into Sullys.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Oh God. How do you all feel about buttoning it up?
I feel buttoned.
I know how Dottie feels about it. Thanks everybody for listening to the level, this episode of The Level. It's been a good time. Want to do a save the date. Duckstream is going to be December the 17th, 18th, and 19th. We're gonna be doing the day shift on that. It'll be a good time. I'll have a game I'm doing. I really enjoyed doing the participatory stuff last time. We'll have details as it gets closer, but we're gonna be doing that to benefit Transactive. We're coming up on the 10th anniversary of this this event, which is crazy to me.
Woo.
Yeah,
that is nuts.
Yeah. Watch the usual spaces for that. Otherwise, you can help out the show by all the usual things, ratings, reviews, coming back next week, telling your friends all the good stuff. Am I forgetting anything?
No.
Don't think so.
Okay. I've been Cole Ross. You can find me on Twitter at Cole Ross.
I've been Dennis Furia. You can find me on Instagram at Deck of Wonders.
I'm Jolichon in places.
And I've been Merkel.
And stick around for some titles. I didn't have any. Who has?
I have two. Okay. And I missed a bunch of them because it was in the middle of like folks talking, like I was listening or having to say stuff, so I didn't get everything. But I got two. But it's very funny because if you read them back to back, it sounds like just a sentence.
Okay.
Nothing is allowed to die, and I am just so tired.
Okay. Dennis.
So nothing is allowed to die is one, and I am just so tired is the other.
they are a good set. Dennis,
it's
how about
just
you?
Like Cole's feels for today.
Did not mean to be so grim.
I too have two.
Okay.
I've got I can't even count Rocky right, and then Redeemal.
Okay.
Or you can style that as redeemed, if that feels better.
And Ben, how about you?
I just have Secret Shame.
What was that about?
It's Dennis.
Ooh.
Not listening to video game soundtracks.
Oh, yeah. How do you all feel about Nothing is Allowed to Die?
I feel that is a good title.
Okay.
Done.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to go and pay attention to the cats because they're doing
Please
a thing.
Please do. They're going to like revolt if you don't.
Yeah. Dottie is trying to lead me to the kitchen, so she wants a treat. So
she's calling the shots here.
Yeah. Oh, no. Greta's trying to lead me to the kitchen. Sorry. I misspoke. Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm getting my kids mixed up.
It's like parents calling their kids the wrong name.
Yep. All right. Have a good week, everybody.
Happens for a good reason. I learned
because people that you have have affection for are mixed up in the same bucket in your head, and so when you go to reach for one, they get mixed up.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if someone ever calls you the name of someone they hate, be worried.
Yes.
On that note, good night.
that was a good factoid, Ray Romano. Wait a minute, sorry. All right, good night, everybody. Have a good week.
See you guys.
Yep, bye.